Now, in the whole museum, every sound made was piped into every other place in the museum. Leading from the first floor to the second floor was a staircase. There was one from the first to second and one from the second to third floor, which had an electronic system which I designed for creating music on the stairway. And on the second floor, there were people performing, dancers, musicians, dancers performing on this staircase at the same time musicians were performing. Herbie Hancock played solo piano. Archie Shepp came with a group with Beaver Harris and Roswell Rudd. My group performed. Eric Ravat, who comes from Philadelphia, was in my group at that time. And he was playing. There was a group down from Buffalo from the Center for Creative and Performing Arts playing the new percussion quartet. Andrew White, who was at Buffalo 2 years before, performed a piece with them. Then on the third floor, there was a kind of setting which was relatively normal in terms of what you do when you walk into a museum or gallery. Normal in the sense that it's a kind of a passive interaction. You just walk through the rooms and you look. But in this third floor of my happening, outside of the main room, I had a popcorn machine which served free bags of popcorn. And then you take a bag of popcorn, you walk into the room, and on the floor, all over the room, this huge room, was gravel. And I wanted to encourage, perhaps, a sense exchange. Synesthesia, where you change from, you could think you were eating gravel and walking on popcorn, or the reverse. That became even more complex when you walked into the room and there were 8 television sets behind a chicken wire fence from floor to ceiling. It was like a television wasteland, sort of. And all the television sets were tuned to the local stations, but you couldn't distinguish one sound from the other. You could hear them, but they were all at the same volume level. And some people, it was incredible, because some people had the experience of being so fascinated by all of these television sets together until they had that sense exchange. You would see people spitting out the popcorn because they thought they were eating gravel.
Really?
Yes, it was incredible. Some people enjoyed the chance to look at all these television sets together because real television freaks, you know, who really dug the chance to see all the stations together, all the television sets together. Then one of the most incredible experiences of that whole show during the 3 years was that a friend of mine who works for a school for children who are deaf and who can't speak and who couldn't see brought about 6 children to the exhibition. And the exhibition frightened them at first, but once they were in the television room, it seems that the effect of the light from the television sets did something which tied the whole thing together for them. And they began to laugh, and then you just couldn't control them in that space. They really, really went through it, really enjoying it.
Must have been a very exciting experience for you to have created such a large and all-encompassing environment.
Yeah, it was. It was really a good experience for me.
What brought you to New York, where you live now?
Excuse me. Basically, I could say that I was I came to a point in Washington as a performer, as an exhibitor, where I couldn't get beyond the local status. And I suppose musicians and artists all over have found this to be true in their own hometowns. My group in Washington charged more than most local groups. Not enough to not enough fame to be hired as a major act at a couple of the major clubs in Washington, and charging too much to be a second act. And I found myself in a kind of position which meant I couldn't work. My playing was confined to private parties, which paid very well, and doing performances in schools. It seemed that I couldn't get out of the local status. That was one of my complaints about the scene. Then, too, I felt the need to grow more musically and artistically. And I got hired to teach at Rutgers in 69. And the first year, I was part-time, and I commuted to Rutgers from Washington once a week. And then the second year, they made me full-time. And I thought then I was financially prepared to move to New York.
So. how do you like it there? I mean, does it? I mean, now you're not local. You're from somewhere else, and you're in, you know, like the largest city around.
It's been an education. It's been mainly positive, though. I've learned a lot in terms of my personal growth. I've learned a lot about the business of the arts, which I think any contemporary artist has to almost become a master at.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think that you don't want to be directly involved in the business yourself, you have to have enough of a business sense to be able to know when you're being cheated and ripped off and who to hire to get the results you want. It takes a little bit of business skill to know that. I think if you don't want to be manipulated by gallery dealers and producers and record companies and so forth, you really have to learn how to do the business yourself.
Well, Lloyd, let's listen to a short solo piece from your new record now. The record is called Tori, and this is Tori Segment 3. It's a short solo from Lloyd McNeil's new record. Lloyd McNeil from his new album called Tori, and that was Tori Segment 3. Do you have any immediate plans for the near future that you'd be interested in telling us about?
I'm working now on the decision about the programming for the next album. I like to think of my albums as a whole piece, as opposed to just separate segments. And I'm thinking now, just trying to decide about the arrangements of the pieces and the instrumentation and so forth. I have already composed the melodies for the music, and I just have to think now about the putting them in the right context.
Okay, well, Lord McNeil, I want to thank you very much for spending part of your afternoon with us here on Fresh Air today.
Thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure.
My guest has been Lloyd McNeil, who now lives in Manhattan, and the music that we've been hearing is on his own record label called Baobab Records. We're going to hear another selection now from his new album called Tori. I'd like to mention that he's going to be at the Tin Palace Club in Manhattan New Year's Eve weekend. That's this coming weekend, and he plays there about once a month if you're interested in hearing him. Okay, this next piece we're going to hear, another composition by Lloyd McNeil, is called Time Still, Pifaro, which means flute bird, and apologies for pronunciations there. We'll hear Lloyd McNeil on flute, Dom Salvador at the piano, Buster Williams bass, and Dumum Romeo percussion.